to glory land. It won't be long until I take the hand of Jesus Christ with a great big smile. We sit right down and talk a while. Talk a while about the things we've
Charles Watson was born again on May 23, 1975, at the California Men's Colony. His transformation can best be described as amazing grace. Here's one of his messages from his early years of ministry.
Until I see the man, the Prince of Peace.
Tonight we're going to be going into a study called Be Ye Kind. Be Ye Kind. We all need to be kind to one another. Like we've been saying thus far, we all fall short in this area. But we want to grow in this area, amen? We want to become more kind. Let's turn, first of all, tonight to Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 32, which will be kind of the scripture that we hinge off of tonight in the entire lesson. Ephesians 4, verse number 32. Need to open your Bible and learn this scripture here. It's a scripture that has meant much to my spiritual life personally. And in verse number 32, it says, "And be ye kind, and be ye kind." Ephesians 4, 32. "And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted," tender-hearted. Glory to God. Tender-hearted. In other words, having a tender heart. Be tender-hearted with people. Amen? Think tenderly with people and act tenderly with people. Forgiving one another. Now, that's a whole different subject there. Forgiving one another. We're going to be doing some studies later on down the road on forgiveness. Forgiving one another. Even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. What we want to deal with tonight is that we need to be kind with one another. We need to be kind with one another just as God has been kind to us. See, we're God's children, and God expects for His children to grow and to begin to do things as He does things. And God does things in a very kind way. Now, first of all, we need to recognize that we have a new nature. Amen? We have a new nature. We have been born again as Christians. We're what you would call sons of God, children of God. We have been given a new nature. We have been given a new spirit. In other words, as 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, "Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new." Peter tells us that we have been given a divine nature. Again, Peter tells us this in 1 Peter 1:23. He says that we were born again, not of corruptible seed as we were born back in Adam, but now of incorruptible seed, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. In other words, we now have an incorruptible seed in us, and that seed is the word of God. Amen? That seed is love. And out of that seed, out of that nature that is in us now, God wants His kindness to come forth from that. Amen? But sometimes the way we think and the way we cast unforgiveness and get revengeful and have resentment and backbite and do all the things that Christians aren't supposed to do, right? When we do that, that kindness don't come forth. But if we would begin to renew our mind with the Word of God, which says, "Be ye kind," then that nature in us that is a kind nature and a loving nature would begin to come out. Are you with me? But we've got to renew our mind with, "Be ye kind." Be ye kind. Say that. Be ye kind. I am kind. Say that. I am kind because I have God's nature. We need to become kind. And we need to begin to see ourselves as being kind and having a kind nature. You've got a loving nature inside of you. Let me say again. It's God's nature, and because of that, we have the ability to become kind. To become kind with one another. So we have the ability to become can because we have God's nature dwelling inside of us. And that nature is a nature of love. That nature is the nature of the Holy Ghost. And it's just desiring to come out and take control of your actions and do kind things. Amen? But in order for us to do kind things, let me say again, we have to be tender-hearted. We have to be tender in our thinking. We have to forgive one another in our thinking. Are you with me? We have to not think resentful things about one another. We have to not think bad things about one another. We need to be tender-hearted, tender-minded with one another. And as we're tender-minded, then that kindness can begin to take place in our actions. Amen? For instance, if you're walking down the street as a Christian, and all of a sudden, here comes this guy that robbed you 2 weeks ago. Amen? And you know deep down in your heart, I need to forgive that guy. But all of a sudden, all you're thinking is, boy, that guy robbed me 2 weeks ago. Where's my gun? You know what I mean? I'm going to beat him up right now. The old devil's putting all kinds of things in your mind. Things that you know you shouldn't be doing. Praise God. Trying to attack you, trying to stop that kindness from coming out of you. But all of a sudden you got to think, hey, I'm not that old person anymore. I don't carry a gun. Amen. I don't think like that anymore because I'm a Christian. So therefore, I'm going to let God's nature come out of me, and I'm going to walk up to this guy on the street, and I'm going to say, you robbed me 2 weeks ago. I remember that. But I'm going to forgive you of that. I'm going to forgive you of that. I'm going to be kind to you. You don't say, come on over to the store. You can rob me again. Don't say nothing like that. But because you're a Christian, and because you have the nature of kindness and love down in you, you're able to forgive that person that robbed you 2 weeks ago. You understand what I'm saying? Praise God. See, kindness is the nature of God, and it's that nature that lives down inside of you. But unless you're tender-hearted, and unless you have your mind renewed with the Word of God, you'll want to do something else to that person instead of being kind, especially a person that has did something against you. Amen? I know. I'm just like you are. I have to overcome thoughts of not being kind. And I have to remind myself constantly that I'm to be tender-hearted. I'm to be kind because I have the nature of God living inside of me. You couldn't be kind if you didn't have the nature of God living inside of you. But because you have it, you now can be kind. Amen? Let's look at that definition of kindness. I have it on the overhead. Kindness is the state or quality of being kind, having a kind disposition or nature, having a kind nature or a kind disposition about you, humaneness, tenderness, see, being tender, like he said here, being tender-hearted, tender in the way you think about people. Some people are just going to get on your nerve. You're not going to want to talk to them. Every time they come up to you, they just come up to you and blah, 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 blah. And the first instinct, oh, no, not this guy again. But we're not to be like that. We're to be tender-hearted to that person. And we have to remind ourselves that now we have a tender spirit, a tender nature, and we're to be tender-hearted. We're to be tender in our thinking towards people. That word also means a kind act. In other words, it's not only part of your nature, but it needs to become part of your actions. Amen? But in order for it to become part of your actions, you have to be tender-hearted. You have to be tender-minded. You have to be tender in your thinking about people. And the way you become tender-hearted is you get into the Word of God and you renew your mind by the Word of God so that you'll be conformed to it instead of conformed to the old world and its way of thinking and the way you used to deal with people. Amen? Get into the Word so that you may prove the perfect will of God, according to Romans 12:2. Amen? In other words, it's not only part of your nature, it needs to be part of your actions. It's a token of friendliness and goodwill, a kind feeling. It's an affectionate love. It's mentioned 44 times in the King James Bible. 44 times in the King James Bible. And let me say again, 1 Peter 1:23 says that you have been born of God. Being born again, you're born of God, you're born of love now, and you have this kindness quality down inside of you. I've been saying that it's the God kind of nature. It's God's nature to be kind. Turn with me, if you would, over to the book of Nehemiah, chapter 9, verse number 17. This is probably a new scripture for you that you probably never have looked at, most of you. And that's Nehemiah 9, 17, which will be a new scripture for you, I believe. In the last part of that scripture there, where it says, but, thou art a God ready to pardon. Praise God that we have a God that's ready to pardon. You might have not got a pardon from Jerry Brown yet, but you've got a God that has pardoned you. Amen? He's pardoned you of your sin. God is a God that pardons, ready to pardon. He's gracious, He's merciful, He's slow to anger, and of great kindness, and forsooketh them not. In other words, we have a God of great kindness and slow to anger. Well, over in the book of Ephesians there, in that same chapter, tells us as Christians, in chapter 4 of Ephesians, we need to be not only tender-hearted and kind to one another, we too need to be slow to anger. In other words, we have a God that is slow to anger and tender-hearted. We have a God that is kind. He has a great kindness. In other words, He greatly loved us. Over in the book of Ephesians, chapter 2, it mentions this word kindness of God again. Now we're looking at the nature of God, the nature that lives inside of us. You know, deep down inside of us, that nature that's down in there, that love, would lay down His life for the world. Amen? Because it's God's nature. Let me say that again. The nature that lives inside of you would lay down its life for the world. Did you know that? That's what kind of nature you have now. That divine nature that Peter talks about you having. It would lay down its life for the world. That's the kind of nature you got. In Ephesians 2:7, it says that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace. He had His grace. He had His unmerited favor upon you at the cross, right? It says, in His kindness towards us. In other words, because He sent Jesus to die upon the cross for us, that was showing God's exceeding grace and great kindness towards you and towards me. God is a kind God. Amen? Over in the book of Titus, chapter 3, it tells us about this kindness of God again. And remember, this kindness is the nature that we have inside of us now. Titus 3:4. But after that, the kindness and the love of God our Savior toward man appeared. The kindness of God and the kindness, it says here, and love of God our Savior towards man appeared. When did the kindness of God appear? It appeared when Jesus came on the scene and hung on the cross for you and for me. That was God's kindness, wasn't it? So when we be kind today, and when we say, well, what is kindness? We say, well, kindness is this. It's giving my son for somebody's sins. That's what kindness is. That's what it was to God. And that's what it is and should be to us. Amen. That's what it is down in our spirit. Like I say, that nature and that quality that lives down in you would give up your life for the world. As a born-again Christian, that's what lives inside of you. Well, let me ask you this. What keeps it from coming out of you then? What keeps it from actually presenting itself daily, every minute of the day? Well, you're under attack, aren't you? All kinds of imaginations are coming up and attacking you. And trying to tell you you should be this way. trying to tell you that guy's nothing but a fool, trying to tell you that guy there is nothing but a hypocrite, trying to tell you that guy over there should be coming to church more, and blah, blah, blah about him, you know? In other words, the devil's attacking you. And when the devil attacks you and you allow the devil to attack your mind and get you to think a certain way, he'll always try to get you to think opposite from what your nature is. See, your nature is love. Your nature is kindness. So therefore, when the devil comes with those imaginations and tries to get you to think a certain way about your brother that would cause you not to be kind, the Bible tells us we have to cast it down. Every imagination and every high thing that would try to exalt itself against the knowledge of God. You have to cast down every thought that would take you away from the knowledge that you're made of kindness. Amen? You have a knowledge right now. I've revealed to you tonight, because the Word is revealed to me, and I'm just laying it on you, that you have a nature of kindness living inside of you. Do you know that? Say it. Say, I have the nature of love and kindness living inside of me because I'm a born-again Christian. So you have it. You have the kindness. Now it needs to be manifested in actions and fruit in your life. Amen? The fruit of the Spirit. But what you program your mind with and renew your mind with determines what comes out. Amen? Yeah. We have to know that we're kind. We're kind people. And we're going to be kind in this world. It's the attitude of God, as we have on the overhead. It's the attitude of God, the very attitude of God. It's not only God's nature, it's God's attitude. God not only has a nature of kindness, His attitude, His thinking is kindness. God doesn't only think kindness, God's actions are kindness. Amen? See, we all fall short. We're not going to be like Jesus until He comes to be with us. So we can always have a greater attitude of kindness. And we get that greater attitude and that greater kindness, thinking kindness, by recognizing it says in the Word of God a command, be ye kind. Be ye kind. Be ye kind. Every time that somebody comes up to us, immediately we should think, be ye kind. Be ye loving. Amen? Be good to that person. We all fall short, but we need to attack the devil that would try to put any other thought other than being kind on that person. Amen? Need to cast down any other thought that there is. We need to recognize that we need to be kind. We need to be kind to old people. Amen? Old people. I love being kind to old people. It's easier for me to be kind to old people than it is to be kind to some young person running around. Amen? I love old people for some reason. Praise God. Look at this guy. He's not old. Say that. Say, I love old people. And I will be kind to old people. I'll be gentle to young people too. I'll be gentle to all people. I'll be kind to people from this day forward. Because the Bible says, be ye kind. And I will program my mind and conform my mind to being kind. Because this is God's will. And this is my nature. You have a kind nature. We need to be kind and sympathetic to not only the old people and the young people. We need to be kind to those that are in hospitals, that are sick. Amen? We need to be kind to those that are in prison. Glory to God. We're even in prison ourselves. But when we get out, we need to recognize that you appreciated someone that was kind to you while you were in prison. And you go and do likewise. Be kind to that person that is in prison and behind bars. We need to be kind to those that are sick, those that are oppressed. We need to pray for those. Amen? Amen. Need to pray for those that are oppressed, those that are sick. We need to be kind to them. One of the kindest things that we can do for people is to pray for them. Is to pray for them. Over in 2 Corinthians, chapter 6, verse number 6, possibly a scripture that you haven't read for a while. Let's go back to verse number 4 so it will make a little bit more sense. But in all things, approving ourselves as the ministers of God. 2 Corinthians 6:6. How do we prove ourselves? Approve ourselves. Or prove ourselves to be a minister of God. See, like we have on the overhead here, a believer is to be kind. Believers are kind. And if you want to prove yourself to be a minister of God, we have to be kind. Amen? We have to be kind to everyone. Now, this was a quality that was in Paul's life. Look at this. In all things, he was proving himself to be kind as a minister of God, in much patience, in affections, in necessities, or in afflictions, that says, in necessities, in distresses. See, he was proving himself to be a minister of God in stripes, in imprisonment, in tumults, in labors, in watchings, in fastings, by pureness, by knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness. By kindness. You prove yourself to be a minister of God by being kind. Amen? And again, we all fall short of it, but what power is that that causes you to be kind? Look at the next part there. By the Holy Ghost, by love unfeigned. By the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost that has recreated you in your spirit, coming out and being kind. Amen? Because God says, be ye kind. Be ye kind. Over in 1 Peter, or 2 Peter, chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. Going back to verse number 4 there in 2 Peter. Wait till you turn to it there. 2 Peter 1, beginning with verse number 4, tells us about this divine nature that we have and how it's a growth process to get this divine nature out into your actions. Now look at this. In verse number 4, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. We have been given unto us, it says, exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature. Brother, because the promise of Jesus Christ and because Him dying on the cross for you, you now have a divine nature. Goes on to say, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust, you escaped it. Amen? You escaped it. You escaped it. Amen? And glory to God. Kind of like Jesus went down and put the fire escape. Amen? Took a fire escape down into hell with him. Amen? Shot the devil with it. Amen? Put out the fire. Amen? You escaped. You escaped from death and from sin and resurrected into the heavenly places and now been given a divine nature. And it says in verse 5, and besides this divine nature, giving all diligence. In other words, we should have all diligence, my brother. You know what diligence is? Diligence is this. Diligence.
Do your best.
That's right. Well, okay, that's a good definition. Well, what's another good definition of diligence? Huh? Zeal, okay. What's another good definition of diligence? Huh? Diligence. Huh?
Stay with it.
That's a good definition.
Motivation and morale can fit in there.
That's right. Motivation and morale. Hey, all right. See, be diligent in everything that you do. It says, hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. In other words, it's doing something, isn't it? It's being diligent to do. Like Moses said over in Deuteronomy 28, hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. Amen? Be diligent. Amen? Be diligent in following God. But here it says this, and besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith in God, add virtue, and your virtue add knowledge, and to the knowledge add temperance, and to temperance add patience, and to patience add godliness, and to godliness add brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness add charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. If these things be in you. Now look at this. There's seven things here. This has been called before the spiritual pyramid of Christian character. Character development, we could say. In other words, like it starts down at the bottom of this pyramid, a big long part of the bottom part, the foundation of the pyramid is faith. Then you go up one more story, say, on the pyramid, and you add virtue. And then the next story on the pyramid would be knowledge, right in order here. And then the next one would be temperance. Then the next one would be patience. Then the next one, godliness. And then the one right next to the top would be the brotherly love. And then right up on the top there, right up on the top would be charity. That would be arriving at perfect love and perfect kindness in your life. Amen? Now, where kindness is right before you get to being that perfect charity. Amen? And we're not going to arrive at that perfect charity until we get to be with Jesus. Amen? But that's what we're striving for. Amen? We're striving to move from faith to virtue to knowledge, on up to temperance, to patience, to godliness, to brotherly kindness, and all the way up to charity. Tonight we're talking about being kind, brotherly kindness. We're to have diligence to add all these together and achieve that perfect love, amen, which is charity or the divine love. So what we're doing actually is getting the spirit that is inside of us out into our actions to present divine love, to present that divine nature that's inside of us to the world. And that's love and kindness, brotherly kindness. It says, for if these things, verse 8, be in you and abound, they shall make you, or they make you, that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Praise God. Amen. These things need to abound in you. They need to abound out of you and out of me and all of our actions. Praise God. Being kind. Then over in Colossians chapter 3, we see this attitude of kindness is to be in the believer also. And in verse number 12, it says, put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, and long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do you. Amen? Just as Christ forgave us, we're to forgive one another. Where is unforgiveness? Where does that lodge? It lodges in your mind, amen? And you hear someone say, or you might have even said in your own life, I'll never forgive that person. I'll never forgive that person of what he did. But it says here that we're to forgive one another even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven us. Amen? We're to forgive one another just as God has forgiven us. And what makes that possible? Because we have the divine nature inside of us. And it is possible for us to forgive like God forgives. It's been said of God that he not only forgives, but he forgets. And then man, it's been said of man that he forgives, but he never forgets. Amen? I want to be able to forget. That's my goal, is to be able to forget. Amen? To be able to forget. I haven't arrived there yet. I don't want to only be able to say to somebody, I forgive you. But I want to be able to say to somebody, I forget what you did. I forget what you did. But here it says, put on therefore as the elect of God, holy, beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness. We need to put this on us. Put it on, amen? Put it on. Let it be a quality in your life. Brother, it also says here there's some things that you need to put off. It says up in verse 10, put off. Or put verse 9, 8, it says, put off all these. Anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of the mouth. Lie not one to another. Put off the old man with his deeds. When Satan comes up and wants to try to put on old things in your mind, you put him out, okay? Put him out of your mind, right? But let me tell you something. When God came and recreated you, He put off those old things out of your nature. Amen? And when He resurrected you, He put on new things and made you a new man in your nature. So it's not a nature problem that you got, it's a mental problem. Amen? Satan comes and tries to put on all these old things on you. He tries to come and put on you this. He tries to come on and put on you anger. He tries to put on malice. He tries to put blasphemy on you. He tries to put filthy communication on you. He tries to get you to lie with one another. And he tries to put on the old man back on your mind. Amen? He tries that. But what does this in verse 8 of Colossians 3 says? It says, put it off. Amen? See, Jesus came and put it off of your nature. But now you have to put it off your mind. You have to cast it out of your mind. Put it off. Amen? And it says here, put on, therefore, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind. Humbleness of mind. Amen? Put on humbleness of mind. Amen? We need to put the Word on, in other words. See, in verse 16 of this chapter, it says, let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly. We need to let this Word dwell in our thinking richly. We need to put on humbleness of mind. We need to put on kindness. And the way we put it on is to begin to conform ourselves by renewing our mind with this Word of God. We need to put on this Word of God in our mind. Amen? You understand what I'm talking about? We need to be kind. This needs to be the believer's attitude. We need to be a kind person in every way. We need to put on kindness. We need to show kindness to others, not only the old people, the gentle people. I meant the young people. We need to show gentleness to the young people. We need to show kindness to the prisoners. We need to show kindness to those in the hospital bed. We need to show kindness to those that's the hardest for us to show kindness. Just think for a minute. What person right now can you think of that you're having a hard time being kind to? Well, that's the person that God wants you to be kind to. Amen? Wants you to be kind to everybody. In other words, we need to show kindness to everyone. A lot of times it's hard to show kindness to those that are messing up in the body of Christ, that are going out and getting themselves off into this or off into that. Well, we need to show kindness to them too. We need to show kindness to everybody. Amen? We need to show kindness to the alcoholics. We need to show kindness to the homosexuals. I used to have the hardest time showing kindness to a homosexual, and I still have my problems there. But I'm working on that, amen? When I see a homosexual, I say, Charles, you need to show kindness to that person. You need to show kindness to that person, no matter what he's involved in. Jesus Christ died for him, and you should be able now to be kind to that person, amen? Should be able to be kind to that person and loving to that person. Because when we're kind to that person, we're going to be showing him the love of Jesus, and our whole thing in life should be to bring him to the Lord Jesus Christ. Because that's the only one that's able to help that person, and we have to be kind to that person in order to help him. Amen? Do any of you have problems being kind to one? Or maybe I'm the only one that has a hard problem being kind to anybody. Anybody ever have problems in being kind out there? Praise God. We all have someone that it's hard to be kind to. And we need to know that we have the adequate nature to be kind, but it's just the attack of our old mind that would try to tell us not to be kind. I mean, what happens? You know, here comes a homosexual, you know, flying up to you. You know what I mean? Like a little fairy. You know what I mean? Now, immediately, you look at that and you say, repulsive. You know what I mean? But we need to look at that person and we need to say, Jesus loves that person. I'm going to be kind to that person and I'm going to tell them about Jesus right now. Praise God. But if I went for that first thought of here comes this fairy flying up to me, you know, if I went for that, I would never minister Jesus to him. I'd be thinking all kinds of garbage, wouldn't I? But if immediately when that person comes and I say, Jesus loves that person, I'm to love that person just as Jesus loves that person, then I can minister to that person. Otherwise, the devil would have me and I wouldn't say a thing about Jesus to that person. And I would run off with my, I'd run off and say, phew, get out of here in the name of Jesus, you know. When I wouldn't be fulfilling what I needed to be doing, I need to witness to that guy about the love of Jesus. Amen. So I need to think good things about that person. Kindness is a characteristic of true love. And we're going to look at that in 1 Corinthians 13 is the love chapter of the Bible. And kindness is a characteristic of this love. We've already said tonight that kindness comes out of love. We're born of love. We have a loving nature. This kindness is a quality of that love. And in 1 Corinthians 13, 4, it says, charity suffereth long and is kind. That's the first thing it says that charity is. Charity is kind. Charity is a quality of God. Charity is a quality and a characteristic of God. It's a quality of Jesus Christ. It's a quality that lives down in your nature. Amen? But the only thing that would keep it from coming out is an attack from a demon coming and hitting your mind and saying, think this way about that person. Don't think the way God thinks about that person. Think the way I want you to think, a demon would say. Amen? Be hateful and resentful and angry at that person. But no, you're to say, Satan, in the name of Jesus, I cast you down right now. I'm going to be loving and I'm going to be kind to that person and I'm going to minister the love of God to him, which is going to bring deliverance to his life. Amen? We got to be able to overcome those things. Praise God. We got to be able to not only overcome those kind of thoughts, we got to be able to overcome fearful thoughts. We got to be able to come against any kind of thought that would try to keep us from witnessing. Amen? Any kind of thought. When you go out and witness the love of Jesus to somebody, the old devil's going to hit you every other way, and you're going to have to cast it away and say, no, in the name of Jesus, I'm going to go witness to that guy. Amen? Praise God. Also, over in the book of Luke, talking about this love characteristic, it was a quality of Jesus Christ. We all know that. Praise God. This love, it suffereth long, it's kind, and therefore we need to recognize that we need to be kind. And we're not to be overtaken by any kind of spirit that would cause us not to be kind. We're not to look at those that are caught in homosexuality, those that are fornicators, those that are adulteresses, or whatever they're involved in. We're not to look at them with any kind of eye other than the eye that Jesus would look at them with, and that's through the Word of God. Amen? Look at them and say, Jesus died for them. I used to be in the same boat that they were. You know, I used to be in the sin of sin. Sin is sin. I used to reject God just like they are, no matter what they're in prison for. I don't care if they're a child molester or a fornicator or a murderer or an adulteress or whatever they are. Sin is sin. Amen. And I'm going to look at them as needing Jesus. All come short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death. But I need to recognize that sin is sin. They're rejecting God. And now I need to deliver the salvation message that the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Don't need to be thinking all kinds of garbage. I need to be tenderhearted with people. Amen. I need to be kind, in other words. I need to think kind things about people and not allow the devil to come in and attack my mind and make me think anything else. Amen. Amen. I need to look on man after the spirit and not after the flesh. And you do too. We need to be controlled by love, like Jesus here in Luke 6:35. He says, but love your enemies and do good and lend, hoping for nothing again. And your reward shall be great, and ye shall be the children of the highest. For he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. God is kind to the unthankful and to the evil. Jesus is kind to all people. Amen? So therefore, because we have the nature of God, the incorruptible nature now, we should be kind to all people. Amen? See, what you're doing tonight, you're hearing the Word of God that we need to be kind, and when the evil demon comes at you and tries to cause you to be anything but kind, what are you going to say? I'm a child of God, and I'm going to be ye kind. Amen? I'm going to be kind to that person. I'm going to be tender-hearted and not all stone-hearted. Amen? Not having my mind made up that that person's a murderer and I'm never going to forgive him. That person's a homosexual and I'll never forgive him. I hope he roasts in hell. Not having that kind of attitude, but knowing that you have the nature of God now and that you need to begin to compute your mind or conform your mind to the way God thinks about that person. Amen? And he thinks kind, loving things about that person, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That's the Jesus kind of love. Kindness is also, we see on the overhead, it's the trait of a good man. It's the trait of a good man. Over in Psalms 112, getting over into the Old Testament for a little while here, Psalms 112, talking about kindness, 112, verse number 5, the entire book of Psalms 112, or the whole chapter, is a very good chapter that you might want to take home and meditate upon. But in verse number 5, it says, a good man showeth favor and lendeth, he will guide his affairs with discretion. In other words, a good man showeth favor. Showeth favor, amen. A good man, in other words, is kind. And then the scripture that we've been hinging off of tonight in Ephesians 4:32, and be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted. Tender-hearted. That word tender-hearted has everything to say about what I want to say tonight. Tender-hearted. Tender in the way you think about mankind. The only way you can be kind and allow this love, kind nature to come out of you and become an act in you is to be tender-hearted. Are you with me? Be tender-hearted. Be tender in your thinking about man. Be tender-hearted in the way you think about those that aren't doing exactly or being exactly the way that you think they should be. Be tender-hearted in your thinking with mankind. Tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. I hear that one of the number one diseases, and the reason why most people are in the hospital today is because of people that are mentally ill. Amen? You can go over here into DQuad, and you're going to find some people over in Building 7. Some of you are Building 7 tonight. But on the first floor there, where they're locked up right now, you're going to find people that are mentally ill. And it's been said that nearly every other person on the hospital bed is mentally ill. And the reason why is because mental illness is the cause of a lot of physical sicknesses and diseases. Some doctors even say 70% of the sicknesses in the body is due to them being mentally sick in some way. Amen? Being mentally sick. In other words, Satan has not only taken over their spirit and they're not born again, but he's taken over their thinking. They think sickness. Oh, I got this pain. Oh, I got that. Pretty soon they become a hypochondriac and they're always at the doctor sick. Amen? It's a mental thing. Amen? But once you get born again, you recognize that your spirit has been healed. You begin to think health. You begin to think that Jesus has healed you. You begin to think good things in line with the Word of God. You begin to think that by His stripes you're healed. And all of a sudden you notice that you hardly ever get sick anymore. Because you're getting your thinking to think the way God thinks. Amen? But what I'm trying to say is there's a lot of mental retarded people in this world. And it's very easy sometimes to not love them. Especially when they act the way they act. And it's very hard sometimes to sit down and counsel a person that is going through all kinds of turmoil and distress, and it takes a lot of patience with that person. Do you know what I'm talking about? But we need to show all mankind patience. The ones that are mentally ill are the hardest ones to reach. Amen? They're the hardest ones to reach. And if we as Christians don't show patience and kindness with them, who is going to show any patience and kindness with them? The doctor sure isn't. Going to give them shock treatment. So we need to be kind not only to the young and to the old, to those in prison. We need to not only be kind to those on the hospital bed, but we especially need to be kind to those that are mentally ill. Mentally ill. In other words, we need to show favor to all mankind. A good man showeth favor. We need to be tender-hearted. We need to not shun people just because they're mentally ill in some ways. Now, this word kindness is also used a lot in the Old Testament. If you turn back in Psalms to Psalms 31, verse number 21, we'll see that the Bible tells us that we need to be kind, not only in the New Testament, but also in the Old Testament. In Psalms 31, I just want to give you a few Psalms here, 21. Psalms 31, 21, it says this, "Blessed be the Lord, for he has showed me his marvelous kindness in a strong city." He has shown me his marvelous kindness. And of course, through the person of Jesus Christ, he has shown us his kindness. Over in Psalm 63, as we sung tonight, "Thy loving kindness." Psalm 63, word kindness is used. "Because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee." Amen. Because thy loving kindness is better than life. I tell you what, the easiest way to make a friend with somebody is to be kind to them. Amen. It's to be kind to them. And we have to be kind to people in order to have a friend. Have to be kind to that person. And then it makes a friend out of that person. "Thy loving kindness is better than life, and my lips shall praise thee." Glory to God. Then in Psalms 117, another scripture here with kindness in it. 117, verse number 2. "For his kindness, his merciful kindness, is great towards us, and the truth of the Lord endureth forever. Praise ye the Lord." His merciful kindness. In other words, we're to have mercy upon people. Amen? A lot of times, Satan would want us to go out and bring out the wrath of God on people. Amen? Because of their actions. Do you see that? But just like God withheld his wrath and had mercy upon all sinners, now we, because we have the nature of God, is to withhold our wrath, amen, and bring love and mercy upon all mankind. Not only the old, not only the gentle, or the youth, be gentle to the youth. Not only being good to those in prison, not only being good to those that are sick and oppressed, not only being good to those that are mentally ill, being good to all people and being kind to all people. Now, that's a big chore. There's a lot of people that it's not easy to be kind to. But we know as Christians we need to be kind. Amen? Need to be kind. I'm preaching this sermon to me as much as I am to you. I need to learn kindness, and I need to allow that kindness to come out of my life, because the Bible says, "Be ye kind." It's a command. Be ye kind. But it says here, "For his merciful kindness." We are to have mercy on mankind and not wrath. We're to have the same love upon mankind that God had upon mankind by sending Jesus Christ, because that love lives inside of us. And now we're to allow that love. I say allow that love to come out and be part of our actions. Be kind to one another. You know, God wanted to bring out his wrath on mankind several times through the Old Testament. And then Moses interceded once, and other people interceded, and God withheld his wrath. Do you remember those times? Huh? Several times, God, boy, he got, his attitude was, I want to bring my wrath on those children of Israel right now because of all that stuff he's doing. And then Moses prayed, and God withheld his wrath from those people. Amen? Sometimes we think, oh, man, I don't know why he continues to do that. And we want to bring our wrath on somebody. But then we think and we pray for that person, and we come to God, and God reveals to us in his word, you need to be kind to that person. And just as I withheld my wrath from you and mankind, you need to now withhold your wrath from people and be kind to them. Amen? And not give them our wrath. You can give man your wrath. Merciful kindness. In Isaiah chapter 54, Isaiah 54, verse number 8, 54:8 says this, in a little wrath I hid my face from thee for a moment, but with everlasting kindness will I have mercy on thee, saith the Lord thy Redeemer. Amen. With a little wrath, he said, I hid my face from thee for a moment. I don't believe it's bad to have a little wrath and to hide your face for a moment. But I tell you what, when you act out that wrath instead of acting out kindness, that's bad. Amen? That's sin. In other words, we need to withhold our wrath just as God did and have everlasting kindness. Will I have mercy on thee, saith the Lord thy Redeemer. We need to allow God's love and God's mercy to flow out on mankind so that they can be saved. It's the love of God that brings man to repentance. It's not your wrath for not being kind. I believe chastisement has its place. Admonishment has its place. But that brother that you're admonishing and chastising needs to know that you're a kind person, that you're a loving person, that you're a caring person, and that you're only telling him these things because you care for him and have kindness for him, amen, and have love for him. In other words, that's the way people get saved and get helped in this world. Then it says in Isaiah 54:10, going on down to that verse, it says, for the mountains shall depart and the hills be removed, but my kindness shall not depart from thee. My kindness shall not depart from thee, neither shall the covenant of my peace be removed, saith the Lord that hath mercy on thee. Praise God, his covenant, the new covenant through Jesus Christ, the kindness of God has come upon all mankind, and don't remove that kindness now or that covenant from your life. Amen. Let Jesus' love flow through you as the body of Christ. And let that kindness appear unto all mankind. Over in Jonah, is this making sense to you? That kindness needs to be everlasting. If that kindness is going to be everlasting of God, it's going to be everlasting through the body of believers also. Amen. Because we have God's nature living inside of us. The devil would try to come in like a flood, put all kinds of imaginations on you and cause you to be disobedient. But you're to think, I'm going to be kind. In Jonah 4:2, Jonah, you know, he was going to give the word to Nineveh, you know. He didn't want to go, but he finally did. Got swallowed up by a fish and everything else. But then in verse 2 of chapter 4, it says, and he prayed unto the Lord. Jonah prayed, in other words, and said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? Therefore I fled before unto Tarshish, for I knew that thou art a gracious God and a merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness, and repenteth thee from evil. In other words, Jonah knew the kindness of God. He knew that God was a kind God and repenteth from evil. We need to repent from evil. We need to repent. Repent means to change your mind. We need to change our mind what we think about people. When people come to us, we have a choice. We can either think kindness about that person, we can think love about that person, or we can think evil about that person. We need to change our mind and repent and say, I'm going to think good about that person because I repented of my sins and I got saved and I changed my mind about sin. Now I'm going to change my mind and I'm not going to bring any evil out against that person. I'm going to bring good and kindness out to that person. Amen? It's a constant battle. It's a constant change. Every minute of every day, every person that we come into contact with, we have the choice. We can be kind to that person or we can be evil to that person. We need to repent and be kind to that person. Then again, I want to bring out to you over in Matthew chapter 26, the reward of being kind. In the book of Matthew chapter 25, verse number 34, but before I do, I want to mention that all the way through the Bible, kindness is brought out. God's people should be kind. If you want to write these down quickly, in the Bible it says that God's kindness should go out to fellow believers. There's a scripture for that. We need to be kind to fellow believers. Number two, we need to be kind to our neighbors. Write that down. Neighbors. We need to be kind to our neighbors. We need to be kind to foreigners, to those coming from a foreign land. We need to be kind, the Bible says, to widows. To widows. We need to be kind to widows. This is not on the board. We need to be kind to those that are orphans. Amen? Kind to orphans. Kind to the needy. Needy. Kind to the needy. Kind to the weak. Kind to those that are weak. Kind to those that are in sorrow. Kind to those that are weary. Sorry and weary. Those that are in sorrow and weary. We need to be kind to the fallen. The ones that are fallen down and the ones that even are our enemies, we know. In Matthew 25, 34, it says this. Here's the reward for that. Matthew 24, 25, excuse me, 34 says this. Then shall the king say unto them on the right hand, come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. He says, come and inherit it. Now, this is the reason why. For I was an hunger, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came unto me. Why did he say, come and inherit the kingdom of heaven? Because you have been kind. Because you have been kind to those that are hungry, to those that are naked, to those that need clothing, to those that are in prison. Amen? Yeah. Being kind. In other words, Jesus' love and kindness needs to flow out of us. We need to be tenderhearted, tender in our way of thinking about one another. Forgiving one another, as the Scripture says in Ephesians 4:32, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven me. Say that. Even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven me, I will forgive and be kind. Just as God is kind. In other words, we're to be friendly, we're to be gentle, we're to be kind, we're to be generous, courageous. We're to have love towards one another. Two last scriptures I want to share with you in Proverbs. First of all, Proverbs 14:21, and then Proverbs 31:26. In Proverbs 14:21, it says this: he that despiseth his neighbor sinneth, but he that hath mercy on the poor, happy is he. In other words, be kind. Have mercy on the poor. Then in Proverbs 31:26, it tells us that the ideal woman speaks kind words.